I'm going to go ahead and call the joint committee, a special committee on land use fairness to order now. What we're going to do tonight is try to wrap up on our testimony from public testimony that we've had, let's say, backing up on us. But before we get into doing that, we have asked for some invited testimony as the agenda reflects. Tonight we're going to have an individual by the name of Jim Johnson. Mr. Johnson is with the Department of Agriculture. He is going to be going through some of the issues that we've heard. What we're going to attempt to do over the next couple of meetings, or a few meetings I should say, is actually take some of the public testimony we've heard already through this process and start honing in on specific issues that have been raised so we can get some of the individuals that actually have let's say, more specific expert type of information before the committee. So that's why we're kind of shifting gears, and we'll continue to have that invited testimony, and we'll continue to complete the testimony that's here signed up tonight, where the goal is we're going to try to get everyone that signed up that's carried over from last week to tonight in tonight, so you won't have to make another trip back. So with that, Mr. Co-Chair, is there anything else that we need to go over?
That's it.
All right, Mr. Johnson, if you'll put your name on the record and give us your testimony, and committee members, what I'd like to do, I think at this point is let Mr. Johnson get through his testimony, take notes as to questions you may have, and we're going to see if we can reserve our questions till once he's completed his presentation. That might help expedite things unless we find ourselves really, 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 really needing to ask something right then for clarification. Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Chair Pozanski, Chair McPherson, committee members. My name, for the record, is Jim Johnson. I'm the Land Use and Water Planning Coordinator for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. If I could get the projector turned on. I have an awful lot of data in a short amount of time, and so I'm really trying to focus on some examples. What the Department of Agriculture has tried to do in the last several weeks, because we've been getting more and more questions about Major 37 and how it lies with agricultural lands in the state of Oregon. We approached several counties asking for them to provide us with their Major 37 database in terms of the boundaries of their Major 37 claims and the zoning. And we then overlaid that with agricultural attributes. And I'll go through that information with you really quick. You should have a couple of handouts. One is a set of maps that has a cover over it that has a lot of data. First for the entire Willamette Valley, and second for individual counties. You also have the first page or two of this PowerPoint presentation that doesn't include the maps. The maps, you're not going to be able to read on that because there are some numbers there. A disclaimer right up front, the Willamette Valley data is minus Polk County. Polk County did not make their data available to us to include in this analysis, so it is you'll see a poll on any of the maps that we deal with. I also have a lot of paper maps here that if we get into questions, you have specific questions or like, we can put those up because they tend to be a little easier to see than the PowerPoint. The PowerPoint tends to wash the maps out. So having said that, the map that you see here, and it's up here, is a map of the entire Willamette Valley with the Major 37 claims mapped in red. The lightest color down the middle of the valley are lands zoned for agricultural use. The next darker green are farm forest zones lands, and the darkest green are forest zone lands. The light beige or almost yellow color are lands under public ownership. We did not count any lands under public ownership in the numbers that I'm about to go through.
Mr. Johnson, before you go any further, I forgot to make one announcement. If you do have a cell phone, I'm going to ask you to please turn it off. As we've mentioned before, it does interfere with the PA system and those who may be trying to follow along over the web. And if you can turn it off completely, not just into the silent or the meeting mode, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
In the Willamette Valley, total acres of ag zone private land are a little under 15 million acres. All of the acres within Major 37 claims, with the up-to-date data that we've been able to receive from the counties, that totals a little over 250,000 acres. Total acres of agricultural zone land in Major 37 claims, 132,346,000 acres. That's 51% of all the Willamette Valley Major 37 claims are on land zoned for agriculture. and 8.8% of all the ag zone land in the Willamette Valley is under a Measure 37 claim currently. Now, for some comparison, here's some numbers for you. If you look at the Census of Agriculture over time, you're basically looking at in the last, from 74, last 20, 25 years, a little over a 9% loss of farmland in the in Oregon, not in the Willamette Valley. That compares to that the Measure 37 number that I showed you just earlier of 8.8%. So, in a two-year period under Measure 37, you've basically got a similar percentage of farmland that we've lost in the last 20, 25 years in the state. Another source that we use to measure agricultural land loss nationally is what's called the National Resources Inventory, done by the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service. From 1982 to 1997, 144,300 acres of agricultural land were converted to urban or built-up uses in Oregon. 60,000 plus of those were within urban growth boundaries. 35,000 of those ag acres were within rural development zones, rural residential, rural commercial, and the like. 48,400 acres were in farm and forest zones. That's, if you look at the acres that I showed earlier, there's almost three times as many acres under Measure 37 claims in an ag zone as we lost in the last 15 years under the NRI. And here's the valley again. You can see the disbursement of it. What I want to do next is look at some individual counties. I've concentrated heavily in the northern part of the county because that's where we got the data first, and I was able to get those in a presentation format the quickest. I've got some paper versions of other parts of the valley over here if we want to look at those later. But what I'd like to talk about now is it's not just the number of acres, but the footprint and the relationship of this footprint of the Measure 37 claims and their potential for impact of other lands also. This is Measure 37 claims in Clackamas County, and if we zoom in on the agricultural land, you can see the development pattern here. One of the concerns we have here is if you look at the relationship of these Measure 37 claims to each other, you start to have questions about the ability of some of these farmers to operate should these claims be developed to their full potential. Also, you would want to look, if you look at the top in the gray area up there, that's the Portland Metro Urban Growth Boundary, and you can start to see some of the claims block up with the urban area and start to, in some sense, be an extension of urban development. This is Marion County, and in a close-up here, you can see, again, Measure 37 claims are scattered throughout the county, predominantly, and if you'll see the numbers in your handout, you can see the percentages predominantly, again, on land zoned for exclusive farm use. A couple of things that stand out here, if you look in the Kaiser area, there's a large block there north of the Salem-Kaiser Metro Urban Growth Boundary that's starting to commit lands there. If you look in the area to the south between Turner and Salem, which is just down in here, you can start to see Measure 37 claims and filling in a notch, so to speak, and impacting that area. Woodburn, if you look on the eastern edge of Woodburn up in the northern part there, they just expanded their urban growth boundary to include over 900 acres, so they've got approximately that amount also in Measure 37 claims now abutting the urban growth boundary. For your reference, each one of those squares up there is a square mile. This is Washington County. What stands out right away is, of course, is in the western portion or the left side there of the forest zone area. Those are forest Measure 37 claims in the green. The agricultural area I'll expand on here in a second when I go to a larger view, but I was asked to make sure that you could see the forest side of this. We didn't spend an awful lot of time on forests. We're not the Department of Forestry, but a lot of farmers do forest practices also. Here's the Washington County area focusing on the agricultural areas, and again, one of the highlighted areas here would be the area to the north of the Hillsboro Forest Grove Tualatin area, which is the finger that sticks out into the farmland there. And if you look at the Measure 37 claims between Highway 26 and the urban growth boundary, we're very concerned that that's could lead to the urbanization of that entire area. It's all Class 2 prime farmland, most of it's within an irrigation district. And here's Yamhill County. Here's the farming area here. And again, you can see some quite substantial claims, not only as they're scattered all throughout the area, but also some large blotches that form quite large islands in and amongst agricultural land. What I'm trying to get at with these is to show that it's not just the number of acres that are on the footprint, but also what happens in between those acres and how that could impact or impair the ability to farm in between these areas in terms of farming operations that don't coexist very well with residential and rural residential uses, which are the predominant Measure 37 claims. Another thing that we have been able to do is map Measure 37 claims, and this is an ongoing thing because it's quite a large database with soils. This is Marion County agricultural land overlaid with prime farmland soils map. Of the Measure 37 claims that I talked about earlier, over 12,000 acres of those involve prime farmland soils. Over 20,000 acres include high-value farmland soils. This is Washington County. We don't have the numbers yet on this. The computer's running those. But, again, the green area there is the prime farmland. You can see that the vast majority of the claims in the agricultural area are on prime farmland. We're also able to look at the impacts of Measure 37 claims as it relates to groundwater and also as it relates to irrigation. This is a map of Yamhill County that shows groundwater-restricted areas over on the top and at the bottom in the crosshatch areas. The Measure 37 claims show up in red within those areas. We've been getting quite a few calls at the department with concerns about what happens to our irrigation water if these claims are all developed. And, of course, residential claims tend to be exempt under Oregon water law from having to show any injury or get any permit at the initial stages. This is Washington County. This is kind of ground zero in the Portland metro area for groundwater restricted areas. You have three groundwater restricted areas that coalesce here, and you can see those all across the bottom. A huge part of the Measure 37 claims in Washington County fall within these groundwater restricted or groundwater critical areas. The red area is a groundwater critical area. The other two are groundwater limited or restricted areas. We've started to get outside the Willamette Valley. This is a map of Jefferson County, and Madras is right there, smack in the middle. What this map shows, the purple boundary there is the North Unit Irrigation District, and I'm going to zoom in on that in a second. But real quickly, since we're on Jefferson County, nearly 35% of the Measure 37 claims involve land zoned for exclusive farm use cropland, 59.8% involve land zoned for exclusive farm use rangeland, and the acres there you can see on the screen. Here's the North Unit Irrigation District. Within the North Unit Irrigation District, there are 7,700-plus acres currently subject to Measure 37 claim. A couple of the issues related to irrigation districts, you start to have concerns should the water be converted away from agriculture to residential use or not be utilized anymore, about the critical mass of land needed to support the infrastructure to run the irrigation district. And so as the critical mass is diminished, the irrigation district has more and more troubles operating and continuing to have the revenue to operate as needed. The North Unit Irrigation District came and talked to the Board of Agriculture over a year ago about this issue, not even taking into account Measure 37, just with some of the gentrification that's going on in the area with non-farm development and their concern about the conversion of agricultural water rights to non-agricultural water rights, or for that matter just going back in stream and not being available anymore because they're not utilized. That impacts the critical mass. It also impacts the critical mass of the land base that goes into other services that support the industry, such as fertilizer, such as processing, such as farm machinery and the like. This is a map of Marion County where we've actually mapped you can barely see that, but there's a lavender color there. Those are all areas with irrigation rights for agriculture through the Water Resources Commission, and Measure 37 claims overlaid with that. The vast majority of Measure 37 claims north of a line running from Salem to Silverton involve irrigated farmland. This is Washington County, and the reason I put this in real quick, again, the purple line there shows the Tualatin Valley Irrigation District. The light violet color is irrigated land, and then the groundwater restrictions are shown there. This is kind of, again, where all the issues related to irrigation and non-farm uses come together, and it's kind of the poster child, so to speak, for water issues related to Major 37. And that was real quick, but I wanted to save some time for questions, and I have a lot of other maps if you want to look at any specific county. And this is an ongoing project. We're mapping more soils and more water-related things as we for the valley, and we're getting out of the valley and now have data for Hood River County, for Jackson County, for Wasco County, and we're looking to gather more.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Questions from the panel? Representative Smith?
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, can you just tell me real quick if the, and thank you for the maps, are all those Measure 37 claims taken into consideration the ones that haven't been approved? Or are they on the map no matter what?
Chairs, Representative Smith, these are all the claims, period. The data to determine whether they were approved or denied, the vast majority are pending. We did not want to, get into trying to second guess which would be approved and which wouldn't, so we basically put the footprint on there. The counties are telling us that the vast majority, though, are being approved.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Kocher. Mr. Johnson, you used two different terms for farmland characteristic. You used high-value farmland soils and prime farmland soils. Could you describe how those relate to each other and what the character of them is?
Sure, Co-Chair McPherson. High-value farmland is a definition found in state statute that includes prime farmland. High-value farmland includes prime farmland, unique farmland, any class 1 and 2 farmland that is not prime or unique, and certain identified class 3 and 4 soils within the Willamette Valley that are characteristic of high-value crops, soils that grow high-value grass seed, soils that grow wine grapes, soils that grow orchards and the like. Those would be the class 3 and 4. Prime farmland is a national definition from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which, without getting into all the chemical properties and the like, is the best of the best farmland, requires the least amount of management to get the highest value from land.
Thank you.
Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Jim, just to kind of get on the record, could you put on the record what percentage of private rural land in the state is zoned for either exclusive farm or forest use?
I don't have those numbers right now. You'd have to get those from DLCD.
I figured since you were at DLCD, Brian, it's just...
That's been over 10 years.
Yeah. So it's 97% of all land is zoned as exclusive farm or forest land. So if I can just make a quick comment, Mr. Chair, would be helpful, I think, is that just because something zones farmland in this state has had little regard to whether or not it was actually being used for farmland. So I think what would be more useful is the farmland, the prime farmland comparisons. Because the zoning is basically everything that wasn't an exception area, it was either zoned farmland or forest land. And so since 96% of land was zoned farm or forest land, what would be more helpful for me is to actually see where, since we have the mapping capability, where actually we have actual farmland, not land that's zoned either farmland or forest land.
Chairs Brzezinski and McPherson, Senator George, I would strongly suggest that in the case of the numbers I use here today in the Willamette Valley, the vast majority of those are in agricultural use.
Mr. Chair, if I could. I guess what I'm saying is that it's in an agricultural use zone, but I guess what I'm saying is that what we're looking for is the actual prime soils. Because what's difficult to understand is that just because it's in an exclusive farm use zone or if exclusive or a forest use zone, that's 96% of all the land. So there's no zoning there. So what would be helpful is more going along the prime farmland soils. That map would be a little more helpful, I think, to this committee's work. If you could just do that for us, it'd be helpful.
Well, I can certainly, Chairs Posansky and McPherson, Senator George, I can certainly do that, but again, I would strongly argue with you that in the Willamette Valley, that number, the acres of farmland you saw there, the acre of land zoned for agricultural use, the vast majority of those are in agricultural use. Over 50% or more of those are in prime farmland, and I would say another 20 to 30% of those are high-value farmland, so we're talking about basically Oregon's agricultural industrial lands park, the Willamette Valley.
Mr. Johnson, what I'm hearing you say is basically it's your position and opinion based on your research that within the Willamette Valley of these where these claims are at, they're on active use of farmland, land that's actually in production?
Well, Chair Brzezinski, that's correct. Now, what intensity they may be, some are underutilized, some are not. There are certainly acres of land that are in pasture land that are certainly capable of growing grapes, for example. Grapes are a great example of lands that are not prime farmland, that are some of our highest producing land on a per acre basis in the state, and are class 3 and 4 and are not prime.
Other questions? Mr. Johnson, I'm going to ask you a couple. I just wanted to give everyone an opportunity. I really am kind of focused on the impact on our water and some of the slides that you've given us as to the impact that it could have on groundwater restricted or limited critical areas, as well as these irrigation districts. Can you elaborate a little bit more as to the concerns that you've heard or what you see from the Department of Ag as to how water rights could be changed and what could be lost through this process?
Excuse me, Chair Brzezinski, I'm not a total expert on water rights, but I know enough probably to be dangerous here or whatever. The concerns that the department has are in a couple of areas. First, as it relates to irrigated agricultural land, it's probably the most valuable of all the agricultural land we have. It has the greatest capabilities of doing all kinds of different agricultural crops. Certainly not all crops require irrigation, but some of our highest value crops do require irrigation. 77% of all of Oregon's value of agriculture comes from land under irrigation. So when an irrigated tract is converted from agriculture to rural residential use, that water is no longer available for agriculture in a lot of cases. Our experience has been that water goes back, you use it or you lose it, so the water goes back to basically the pool, so to speak. New water rights for agriculture are extremely difficult to get anymore, any place in the state, but especially in the Willamette Valley. A lot of the valley is hydraulically connected to the Willamette River. Water rights related to the Willamette River come under scrutiny under the Endangered Species Act, so you're not seeing a lot of new water rights. You're seeing a lot of transfer and the like of water rights. There is a great potential for storage, but bottom line, we feel we need to protect the water we got because there's not a lot of water available. Number two, with irrigation districts, there's a certain critical mass of land needed because the members in an irrigation district pay for the water, so that is income into the management of the irrigation district. The less acreage there is, one of two things happens. The less money there is to operate the district, or the more money each individual farmer has to pay to continue to operate the district. Either way, it's having a great impact on farm use within that irrigation district.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Johnson, thank you for your presentation. So at this point, what we're going to do is go ahead and pick up where we left off this past Thursday for those who had signed up for testimony. And Mr. Brennan has a list that has been compiled with people's names as well as those who have returned with highlights. So do we have anybody in the innocence of 100 miles? Okay. Those three? Mm-hmm.
Just that.
Okay. Based on the review that we have from those who are carried over from last Thursday, it appears we only have one individual that traveled more than 100 miles. So we'll put Mr. Rusk, you will be part of the first panel, Susie Kunstman, and Deborah Snyder will be our first panel. The next panel, for those that will be testifying, will be ready for when you're called up, is Charles Fisher, David Adams, and Delbert Hoekstra, we believe, will be our second panel. And again, just the kind of the ground rules that we're using as we have before, about 2 minutes for each person. We're going to try to get everyone done. About a minute, 30 seconds. I'll let you know that you're a minute 30 seconds so you can summarize over the, whatever you want to complete in the next 30 seconds or so. So thank you very much. Steve, why don't you go ahead and, oh, and everyone needs to give their name for the record when you, before you testify. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senators and representatives, I appreciate the opportunity to address you. I've already forwarded to your committee a written appraisal of my opinions of what we're discussing here in this committee. I'm a native Oregonian. My family's been in this state since 1906. I've been involved in farming and ranching myself and with my family all my life. My family was also involved in the timber industry many years ago. I was raised here in the Willamette Valley, farmed here, went to Madras, been farming there for 32 years. We filed a claim because I saw what we're dealing with here is an issue of cause and effect, the cause being Senate Bill 100 and now Senate Bill 505. The effect is Measure 37. It is trying to right the wrongs that were done to private property owners because of blanket land use that we've had thrown over our entire state. A point of interest, I saw our claim outlined on the Jefferson County map. It's irrigated. It is zoned EFU. It is still zoned EFU. My claim is completed, and we did not ask for anything more than 40-acre EFU parcels. 2 years ago, the voters said yes to Measure 37. We were in the majority. The minority that now are trying to thwart Measure 37 through Senate Bill 505 had their say 2 years ago. In my opinion, and I guess I better say that, they no longer have a say. I would also point out as a point of interest that everything that was outlined, I'm running out of time, aren't I?
You're close.
The properties that were outlined are private property, and the majority of those were filed by farmers. And they're filed by farmers, just like myself, because we had 160 acres. It's no longer equitable to farm that piece of ground or rent it out for a livable wage. We filed our claim so that I could have a place for my children and grandchildren to live, and so that my wife and I, living in a home that we built ourselves, not have somebody build, we drove the nails. So we do not have to liquidate it and move because it's no longer equitable. We invested $23,000 in this claim and have not done anything other than a small amount of construction on my daughter's property. Senate Bill 505 is the instrument that needs to be fixed, along with Senate Bill 100, not Measure 37.
All right, thank you for your testimony. Next is Deborah Snyder.
Thank you. My name is Deborah Snyder, and I live in Corbett, Oregon. I'm here to voice my support for Senate Bill 505. We need a period of time to stop and realize the full impact of the excessive Measure 37 subdivision claims which have been filed while allowing a fast track for the single-dwelling claims. Senate Bill 505 says in closing, "This 2007 Act, being necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, and safety, an emergency is declared to exist, and this 2007 Act takes effect on its passage." Some might ask, what emergency? When no one can answer the questions raised by the execution of excessive subdivision claims, such as, how are our schools to handle the influx of new students who will fill the subdivision developments? It's not going to happen by the taxes they will pay. As some say, we can't make ends meet for the students we have now with the taxes we pay now. How are the local roads to accommodate the increased traffic? Who has addressed the increased water needs? Who has addressed the increased sewer needs? If you can't specifically and fully answer each of these questions, then yes, an emergency exists. Therefore, yes, we need passage of Senate Bill 505. Let's fast-track those homeowners only wanting to build a single dwelling, but let's take the time to answer the emergency questions at hand. Let's have time for reason and reflection on such important issues that concern the peace, health, and safety of all Oregonians. Senate Bill 505 will provide this.
Thank you. Thank you. And let's see, I believe our next is Susie Koonsman.
Koonsman. Yes. My name is Susie Koonsman, Green Valley Alpacas, Molalla, Oregon. Please pass Senate Bill 505. Our state is very unhealthy right now. Anger and distrust have replaced the kindred spirit of Oregonians. As it is written, Measure 37's lack of clear definition and answers guarantee that Oregonians will be locked in litigations for decades to come. Senate Bill 505 will give you the time to define the law for the best overall outcome for the state of Oregon's future. What you decide today will affect all of the generations to come. While subdivisions have been the type of claim most discussed, I ask that you include commercial and industrial use of good farmland in your review of Measure 37. From a gravel quarry with insignificant rock located in the middle of homes, a pumice mine and a national monument, to building a motel on the Prineville Rim, the greedy nature of those self-serving Measure 37 claims are apparent. They are sweeping across our state like locusts. Claims for strip malls, billboards, transfer stations, and large timber companies selling lots rather than lumber are no better. The face of Oregon will be changed forever. My neighbor to the east has proposed a gravel quarry on 80 acres of his farm. His blast site is 300 feet from my front door and 50 feet from my alpaca. His claim is passed at the county level and is pending at the state. The good health of our animals will diminish with this quarry next to us. The noise, dust, and the rock blasting will change their lives and ours.
I need you to start summarizing, please.
If the quarry behind us is approved, we will have to move. But no one wants to buy a farm that has a gravel-crushing operation behind it, so we'll sell at a loss. Since almost all of the suitable farms in Oregon have claims under Measure 37 or are sale-priced as if they did, we will probably have to leave the state altogether. There are no restrictions at this time to stop him and others like him from proceeding with commercial interests unless you do it with Senate Bill 505. All we want is the same chance these farmers had for centuries, the right to continue farming. This is madness, and it must stop with fair compromise for all Oregonians. That can only begin with Senate Bill 505. The express line is a suitable answer to the small claims at hand while you continue to explore guidelines for the rest. I beg you to be fair to all of us.
All right, thank you very much. Our next panel, as I mentioned, is Charles Fisher, David Adams, and Delbert Hoekstra, I believe.
Mr. Chairman and members of the Land Use Fairness Committee, I'm Charles Fisher from Corvallis. And first I would like to say that I vigorously oppose Senate Bill 505, and I'll touch upon that at the end of my testimony. My wife and I purchased a small 30-acre farm in 1951. Both of us had endured the Great Depression of the 1930s, and when we decided to buy property, we wanted a piece of land because in the Depression, the only property they held at least part of its value was land. We believe that if there's another economic downturn, we could produce enough food on our acreage to help feed our growing family. And we believe that the land would appreciate in value, and in our old age, we could sell off parcels to pay for our care and elder care facilities. In 1970, we suddenly learned that our small parcel had been locked up in an exclusive farm use zone. My wife is now in assisted living and has been since March 2006. It now costs well over $3,000 a month, and within the next year, we'll likely be $4,000. And we, and our need for assistance is increasing by the month. We need to prepare to pay $5,000 within the next 2 years. The current appraised value of our farm in the AFU zone is about $450,000. This is well below our projected needs. The current appraised market value is a little over $2 million. Unless we are able to obtain a waiver to sell parcels of our property, we will be forced to accept public assistance after we sold our farm for $450,000. Wouldn't it be a terrible injustice for an elderly couple that has property worth over $2 million to be forced to accept public assistance?
Mr. Fisher, I need you to wrap up, please.
Some of the, you may be wondering about applying for a reverse mortgage. We already have done that, and I want you to listen very carefully what happened.
Our application was submitted to FHA-HUD, which is an insured type of reverse mortgage, and we hoped to obtain about $200,000 at a reasonable interest rate. Nothing happened, and then we were informed that it had been rejected. I was incredulous. Why? The agent informed me that it was rejected because it was zoned exclusive farm use. He then applied to the agency called Fannie Mae. Again, it was rejected. And the reason? It's zoned exclusive farm use. I never thought those bean counters knew what exclusive farm use was.
Mr. Fisher, I need you to close up.
And so I wonder if Hector McPherson ever dreamed that the Senate Bill 100 that he dreamed that down the road it would be used to deny elderly citizens badly needed assistance in their old age. And I would like to respond to a comment that the lady made that there's going to be a litigation if we continue this down this road. I'd like to say something. One way you can do this, and if this panel doesn't accept and develop a fair proposal that's just and ethical, you will be back here 2 years from now, and it's going to be worse than it is now.
I would suggest, Mr. Fisher,
you consider buying the development rights. And in the back of that handout I just gave you, I gave you four ways in which you could buy the development rights.
Mr. Fisher, we have your testimony. We'll look through that. I appreciate you taking the time to present this to us. Okay. And so we need to move on so we can get everyone else to testify.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for being here. I believe the next one is Mr. Adams. And what I'm going to ask y'all that are here that have written testimony, it might be best if you want to summarize for us instead of trying to read it all in. We have, everyone will take the time to go through that material. And if you want to highlight the points, you can probably cover it better and make certain that you get some satisfaction with what you're sharing with us. Mr. Adams.
Good evening. My name is Dave Adams. I come to you from the freshly minted hamlet of Stafford. I think most fair-minded Oregonians, myself included, would agree that if you own a piece of property, you should have the right to build a house on it. Wetlands, scenic or greenbelt reserves, fire-prone forest lands perhaps being the exceptions. But Measure 37 goes too far for most fair-minded Oregonians. In reviewing my neighbor's Measure 37 claim, it was revealed that he pays nearly the same in property taxes on his 53 acres as I do on my 2 acres in my home. I don't know about you, but that sounds like compensation. Senate Bill 505 gives us the time we desperately need now to have an honest conversation about compensation. How many times have you all heard Measure 37 supporters say that when I bought my property, I could have developed it? Well, it begs the question, why didn't you develop it when you could? Were the property tax incentives part of that decision? It seems to me, if you had an opportunity and you didn't execute it, the government didn't seize anything from you. You neglected to exercise an option you once had. So let's have an honest conversation about compensation. How many times have you heard Measure 37 supporters say that the voters intended the waivers to be transferable? I think Vice Chair George himself has to admit there is no language in Measure 37 that addresses the transferability of these waivers.
Mr. Adams,
Senate Bill 505 gives us an opportunity to have an honest conversation about waivers. Let me sum up here. We're not talking about dog licenses, folks. We're talking about maintaining the quality of life we all enjoy in Oregon. This is one of the best places left on the planet to live. Senate Bill 505 gives us a chance to have an honest conversation. That's where we got to start. Thank you.
Thank you. Delbert?
Thank you. That's Hawk Street for you.
Hawk Street. Thank you very much for correcting me.
Thank you for the time for me being here. What I want to address is I went through the process of 101 and so forth when I was younger. There was a safety net in 101. It's ORS 197.352. And that says the claimant is due compensation for land use regulations that restricted the use of the subject property in a manner that reduces its fair market value. That was a safety net because when we got into 100, this was a new baby being hatched. We really didn't know what the outcome was. In Measure 37, the voters approved that by a wide margin. 505 does not address the problems that we got in Senate Bill 100. There was some real fallacies when that was done. Each county had a deadline to get their job done in the zoning. What happened then, we got to the 11th hour, and we put a map up in the wall, and we drove a mark down the county road someplace, and one side was one zone, and the other side was another. In that, you have some fallacies, and all government doesn't work perfect. But in that, I would like to say on these Measure 37 claims that qualify, attach those claims to the property or to the deed, not to the name. Because what we're doing here is a fast track to our death. If we don't use it, we lose it. And now we've got all of these claims. You've seen all the wonderful ground we're using up. Let's attach that to the deed rather than the name. And then if there's heirs, let them be have their time to develop that land if they do. In my case, I wouldn't split nothing.
Need to summarize if you would.
So what I would like to say, I'm again 505 because it doesn't address a number of issues that's before us today. It's a Band-Aid fix at best, and we don't need Band-Aid fixes here. We need some real hard work. And in doing this, the race to the line will be probably shortened up a whole lot, and that will allow time to go through these different issues that's before us. If you looked at the map, man, there are some problems with farming, with their agriculture. These people would not split up their land if they were making a decent living. We've got some real problems in this state with agriculture.
Thank you.
It's the most beautiful land, the most beautiful part of this whole country.
Thank you, gentlemen, for coming forward.
Thank you very much.
Next, I have Taffy and Richard Donson and Joe Matrill. Yeah, well, let's see who comes up. we have, let me ask, who's coming forward right now?
Joe Latrell.
All right, Joe. And then, and Taffy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you Taffy?
Yes.
Okay. And then if we can also get Wayne Stevens, please. And Taffy, if you'd like to start.
Okay. My name is Taffy Donaldson, and my husband Richard and I live about 10 miles south of Canby. We have 19.10 acres. 9 acres of that is an EFU. We purchased this property in 1970, and our plan was to raise our boys and someday retire on it. We figured we could, when we got into our 40s maybe, retire and sell off a parcel or a lot or two, build a couple of homes for our kids, and sit on the front porch and rock, I guess. We just had, you know, plans of a golden retirement. Well, our property is poor soil, and it's clay, and we've tried various things, and we do have some of it in the grass seed right now. Excuse me, I'm having a little fibrillation thing here. It's making it harder for me to talk. But we're against Senate Bill 505. We've always had to work, both of us, to support our farm and our kids. And life happens. Things don't always turn out the way you think they will. We now have paid off this farm twice. We're raising grandchildren. One is medically fragile. Excuse me. She requires 24/7 one-on-one care. and 5 years in the courts to save these kids from a drug environment created a mortgage on this property that we will never in our lifetime be able to pay off. So with our earning years pretty much behind us and others' health issues that have taken their toll, Measure 37 was a godsend. We thought, wow, we may come out of this all right after all. We could reclaim our financial loss. We could pay off this mortgage. We'd be able to spend our days in our home. We're not going anywhere. We don't want to sell out and move. We bought that place because we loved it, we've tended it, and we've been good stewards to it.
Ms. Donaldson, I need you to summarize, please.
Okay. But we thought that Measure 37 would be a hope to help us be able to just live our lives there and ensure that the caregiving of our granddaughter would be able to live out her lifespan, whatever that will be. Our claim was filed in good faith, and it's been approved by the county and the state. The cost for the preparation and filing the claim was an investment we really couldn't afford, but we couldn't afford to not try to have it all filed on time and in the right way, so we hired that to be done. The loss of Measure 37 would impose an incredible loss of our rights and on our quality of life. I think we feel each claim should be judged by its own merits, by the county governments that you already have in place.
Okay. Thank you very much for your testimony. Joel Luttrell.
I'm Joel Luttrell. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Joel Luttrell, St. Helens, Oregon, lifelong Democrat, lifelong Oregonian farmer. Title 18, Chapter 13, Part 1, USC. If two or more persons conspire to injure, oppress, threaten, or intimidate any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district in the free exercise or enjoyment of any right or privilege secured to him by the Constitution or laws of the United States, or because of his having so exercised the same. 197352 is a law. I feel three of the actions described, oppress, threaten, intimidate, have been exercised by our governor and our attorney general. The attorney general stated before any court ruling that the properties would not be transferable. The governor declared a state of emergency. Then he reads into law his definition that we, the people, meant to allow only one building per site, building site per claimant. He then goes even further to discriminate against claimants, allowing some preferential treatment by putting them ahead of the line and guaranteeing one building site and then extorting the remainder of their legal claim from them disallowing the exercise of same. This is discrimination and extortion. All of these actions are described in SB 505. The U.S. Code does not allow this type of chicanery. 197352 is a law. Our governor and legislature have taken an oath to uphold the law, not hold up the law. The majority of Oregon voters have made their wishes known, and it's supposed to be a government by the people. Are you saying our votes don't count? Our votes counted in 73 when you took our land use rights away from us, but not now? Those who represent us should have the integrity to support us. Not bob and weave in order to stymie the will of the people for some hidden agenda. It's the law. Get over it and get on board.
Mr. Luttrell,
and at the end of the day, try to imagine or remember again the feeling young men and women who expose their precious life for the greatest country on earth with the expectation of freedom for themselves and their countrymen. Democracy must rule the day. The majority rule is the primary basis for that democracy.
Thank you very much. Mr. Stevens.
Committee members and Mr. Chairman, or Chairmans, thank you for allowing me to speak this evening. My name is Wayne Stevens. My wife and I live in St. Helens, Oregon. My wife and I made a claim based on Measure 37 to divide our 23 acres into 2-acre parcels and received that waiver. We could have asked for 1 acre, but didn't. Our intent wasn't necessarily to create just 2-acre lots. We decided the 7 to 8 lots of 2 or more acres would make a nicer place for people to live on. We are not greedy or selfish, as the governor or special interest groups have suggested. We didn't ask to be a developer. We just wanted to be able to sell a parcel now and then, if and when we wanted. Some people have invested a lot of time and money based on the law created by Measure 37. Let's look at SB 505. If we are still living in a democracy and the majority rules, SB 505 should not even have been written. When was the last time the legislature put on hold or changed a law that was passed by the majority of the people and was found to be constitutional by the Supreme Court? What the governor suggesting in SOB 505, in my opinion, is illegal, dictatorial, and unconstitutional. The governor's suggestion that people wanting to build one house and go to the head of the line as long as they give up future rights is also unconstitutional. The governor should be ashamed of himself for suggesting such a bill, period. The word fairness in the name of your committee, Land Use Fairness, is strictly a feel-good buzzword. The Constitution of the United States and of Oregon does not guarantee fairness to all. There isn't any law that is fair to everyone. If the legislature writes a new law and it's found to be constitutional and passed by the majority of the people, that law would go into effect at the time forward, not retroactive. A democracy says you get to vote once on a measure or on a person. You can't go back and say, I made a mistake, I want to change my vote. Can't do that. SB 505 basically says that the initiative process is dead.
Mr. Stevens,
a ballot measure gives people the right to change laws that the legislature enacted that we don't think are constitutional. That is what Measure 37 was all about. It gave us back property rights that the legislature had taken away. Forget SB 505. Enforce the constitutional law that was created by Measure 37. This is your duty as an elected official. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'm going to ask everyone to hold their comments and appreciation for whatever the testimony may be or not be. There's a number of people here. We try to have a setting that everyone can come forward, give their testimony without feeling intimidated or pressured by comments from the group. We have people from both sides of this issue. We ask you to respect each other. With that said, our next speakers will be Margaret Rigsby, Robert Tracy, and Lynn Crow. And why don't we go ahead and start with Margaret Rigsby.
Thank you, Senator. I'm Margaret Rigsby, and I own 16 acres up the North San Yam on the Little North Fork River, and I bought that in 1958 when I was in my early 30s, and now county, not the Board of Commissioners now, but the ones before them, have been just really terrible gangsters, and they have done everything to downzone my property, because they asked me, they sold some property across the river from me to a farmer, and he went ahead and cut it up in small pieces. They wanted me to give them my property for a park, and I told them that I couldn't afford to do that. I'm 83 years old, and I need that money for my retirement. And they have done everything, like putting a 200-foot setback on it that caused me and went. My property is between the Little North Fork and Bureau of Land Management. And they have done everything the board now I have no fault with, but they were just terrible gangsters, terrible, and have cost me a lot of money. It was like close to $100,000 to take it, that setback off of it.
Right. Thank you.
And nobody else had a setback on their property up there.
All right, well, thank you.
And And the reason that I'm here, I would like to ask you to please support Measure 37. And because that's, I would like to put my property in to 2 acres, and then I would be able to sell it, because it's been like in 4 acres for the last 5 years, and it hasn't sold.
All right, Ms. Rigsby, thank you.
And thank you.
Regarding testimony, today we're taking, or this evening we're taking testimony on Senate Bill 505, so in your comments, if you could focus on that portion of your testimony, and if you have written testimony, we'll take in the rest. And next we have Robert Tracy.
Senator Prezansky, co-chairs, McPherson, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify. My name is Robert Tracy. I returned this evening after not being able to get on last Thursday, because this is very important to me, and I appreciate the willingness of the committee to extend the hearing period so we have an opportunity to do that. I support Senate Bill 505. I hope that you'll be able to pass this bill. It'll give us a chance to take this time out and reconsider some of the potential negative ramifications of the development of the huge number of claims we've seen. I think that the presentation by Mr. Johnson made it very clear what we're facing. I'm concerned about the number of the problems with infrastructure, schools, all the questions that will come up, but I'd like to kind of restrict my comments to the natural resource impact. I've just completed a 30-year career with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, the agency that Mr. Johnson referred to a number of times in his testimony that provided him much of that data. I worked in Umatilla County, Wasco County, and spent 17 acres working here in the Willamette Valley. And I can tell you we've made some real progress with our natural resource base in protecting it. At the same time, we're able to utilize it for continued agricultural production and maintaining the economy of the state. It's come with a lot of controversy. It's been difficult. We spent a lot of money. If this these matters are allowed to go forward in the extension that we've seen, we will lose all of that. We will not recover our fish runs. We will have so many problems with water quality that everyone in the state will be affected negatively. This is very difficult. I'm just very disappointed that it has come to this, because it's turned Oregonians against Oregonians. It's not going to get easy, and I don't envy the position you have, because I can hear the emotion, everyone's voice here. Of course, most of the people speaking in favor of this have a vested interest. They'd like to do something different, but we're not one generation or two generations. We have to think about the future generations, 2, 3, 4, 5 years generations down the road. And if we destroy an Oregon, I believe that will be the final result by letting us go forward. All of us will be ashamed of that in the future. Please pass Senate Bill 505. Give us a chance to review what we've done. When the voters get an opportunity to look at whether they actually want to buy these kinds of developments, we want to support a person's right to build a home on their farm. Nobody wants these big out of district subdivisions all over the agricultural lands. It will destroy the state. Please pass the bill and give us an opportunity to get back and have an opportunity to vote on how we're going to maintain our land use planning in this state. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Lynn?
My name is Lynn Crowell. I'm from Yamhill County, and I support Senate Bill 505. This is the first time I've ever testified before such a body, and I do so only now because I feel so strongly that Measure 37, as it stands, is a disaster. Our country has a long history of balancing individual rights and the common good. I believe Measure 37 is an extreme step in the direction of individual rights, regardless of the harm done to others or the common good. It creates windfall profits for large landowners at the expense of everyone else. Senate Bill 505 is a step in the direction of balancing these two by allowing one dwelling on property long held. I moved to Oregon 25 years ago and stayed and worked here, largely due to the natural gifts of the area and the wisdom of the people in preserving some natural resources for the benefit of all. In the past, Oregon has been a leader on natural resource and conservation issues. And as our country and the world faces mounting challenges such as global warming, it's time to again take up this role. The dilemma of individual versus common good is mirrored in the legislature's duty to represent individuals while moving towards a good and just society for all. I urge you to take the wider view and act to repair the excesses of Measure 37 by passing Senate Bill 505.
Thank you, each of you, for being here tonight.
Thank you.
Gene Gross, Russell Minton, and Tom Bowerman. And we'll start with Gene Gross first.
Yes, sir. I want to thank God for giving me the energy to come here. I think that's enough thanking. Anyway, regards my rights in Measure 37. Fact, I have owned real estate and other properties in excess of 50 years. Fact, for 30 years, mine and others' property rights have been violated. Fact, no one, no one, including myself, has the time to discuss my feelings, etc., for the last 30 years. Fact, we have farmed, raised beef, cut hay, done it all, you name it, more likely we've done it. Fact, regardless, a 250 acres, had to have a job on the side to support it. Never supported itself. Fact, pro or con, we survived. I personally never collected unemployment, food stamps, welfare, etc. And I'm not saying I didn't need it.
Thank you.
Fact, if I invested in Enron, I get no return on the dollar. No response from the public or the bureaucrats. Not so if our investment is in real estate and we make a dollar, we're greedy. Fact, Measure 37 is only another issue. Excuse me. The elite, the bureaucrats, and others want to dictate and control mine and others' property and rights, etc.
Mr. Gross, I need you to finish up, please.
Fact, I served in the military, as did many of my other family the years before me, and I have four in the service today. Fact, I believe in a great USA, but I have a problem with the experts trying to change, eliminate, manage my business, and answer all of my questions when they don't know the damn answer.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Minton?
Yes, my name is Russell Minton. I would like to thank the committee for letting me testify. I am against Bill 505. I am a homeowner of approximately 30 acres in the Dexter, Oregon area. I have owned this property since 1969. I bought the property for an investment and for my retirement. I retired from the post office 2 years ago. I had always been my attention to subdivide this property, and when Measure 37 came along, I did it. I filed it, I got it approved by the county, and I had it approved by the state. My development would allow 9 parcels of land, approximately 2.5 acres each. To even get this far with my claim, I have spent several thousand dollars. And now, with 505, I'm being told that the state wants to put a moratorium on all claims. With 505, if I wanted to only build one residence, how would I satisfy my 4 kids if I wanted to give them parcels? I'm being told that my claim would be expedited if I did this, but I would have to sign away my rights for all future development. First of all, I have children. How do you pick one then? If I wanted to give them a parcel, which I already repeated, with costs constantly rising, it is almost impossible to live on Social Security and pension alone. Not only do I have to continue to pay taxes, but maintain this rather large piece of property. As I get older, not only do I have these expenses to contend with, but additional medical expenses as well. I have also heard that some think People of Oregon did not know what they were voting on when Measure 37 was passed. But this bill was passed overwhelmingly by the voters. And before we have a chance to see it work, our legislation is saying it will not work and has to change it. I always thought we lived in a democracy. It was the will of the people that made the laws, not individuals or small groups or people that are in opposition.
Mr. Metton, I need you to summarize and finish up, please.
Well, I'll summarize then. Okay, you take polls. We had a poll, and the governor was behind in this poll with Mr. Saxon. The poll said that Mr. Saxon was going to win. The governor won overwhelmingly.
Mr. Benton, you need to limit your testimony to 505, not to okay. What happened in the governor's race, and I need you to close up, please.
We as a state will continue to grow. I wonder how many people of this meeting were actually born in this state. Land will be needed to build houses for the growing population. It is estimated that our state will grow by an additional 40 to 50% in the next 20 years.
Thank you.
I'm against 505.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Bowerman.
Thank you. My name is Tom Bowerman. I'd like to disclose that I do qualify for a Measure 37 waiver. I'm a fifth-generation Oregonian. My ancestors came into the Willamette Valley in 1845. I own about 800 acres of farm and forest land. The 5 miles of county road that I live on, there are three landowners. Just to put the Department of Agricultural presentation into perspective, there are three landowners who are qualifiants for Measure 37, none of whom have filed waivers. So this may be just the tip of the iceberg that you saw earlier. We believe in my family and the conservation of Oregon's resource lands. We are appalled by the scope and the implications of Measure 37. Much has been made of the vote of Measure 37, and I submit, though, that the citizens of Oregon did not largely understand the implications of that vote. I want to quote a recent poll result, the most recent poll that I know of Measure 37, and it said, in a recent election, Oregon voters approved Measure 37. And then the question goes on, proceeds with the provisions of Measure 37, and then asks, since there are no funds to pay for this loss of value, local governments are choosing not to apply land use regulations. Do you feel that land use regulations should completely be removed without limits in Measure 37 cases? Or should there be some limits to development? 11% of the respondents said that claimants should be exempt from regulations, while over 83% said that there should be some limits to the scale of development. Other questions and surveys clearly show that Oregonians did not intend or desire claimants to be granted the scope of exemptions that we are witnessing.
Mr. Bowerman,
yes.
I need you to finish up.
Consider the motives of the Measure 37 sponsors. They have previously attempted to repeal planning directly, but that repealing was rejected by the voters. So they crafted the Let's Be Fair to Mom and Pop subterfuge. I suggest that let's be fair to all citizens. Let's go in the direction of what they advertise to be true. And I encourage you to pass measures, Senate Bill 505, and thereafter create a lasting fix for Measure 37. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Representative Garrard.
Mr. Chair, you reprimanded our second gentleman for not talking about 505. About talking about Measure 37, yet this gentleman has gone on and only mentioned 505 in the last 10 seconds. Let's be fair with our witnesses here who are addressing this committee. If you're going to be strict on whether it's 505 or 37, please be fair to all the
Mr. Gard,
all the
Representative Gard, I'm trying to do the best I can. Maybe I'm sorry I'm not reaching your expectations. The reality, we've given a lot of individuals more time than they were allotted, and we're trying to give some flexibility because they are, in many cases, individuals who have never testified before here. And I think you can look at back as to what we've had through this process, where a number of people have a lot of emotions as to what they want to testify. We're trying to do the best we can.
Well, this is the Fairness Committee, Mr. Co-Chair. That's
right.
All I'm asking is that you be fair.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Keith Kaiser, Hal Hermanson, and Tim Goffer. And Keith, if you, whoever would like to start.
Thank you. My name is Keith Kaiser. I represent three generations of the Kaisers that live in Clackamas County. I'm a fourth generation Oregonian. I oppose Senate Bill 505, and I extremely oppose Senate Bill 588, but I realize that's not the topic here tonight. So I oppose 505 because it changes Measure 37. In our instance, our situation, we tried to develop our land in the late 60s, and Senate Bill 100 passed, and we were immediately stopped. I know there was supposed to be provisions for compensating people that were hurt by Senate Bill 100, but that never happened. And to this day, on Mountain Road, on property adjacent to ours, there is a foundation of a house that is still there. It was poured over 40 years ago, and it is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. We would like to do what we started to do 40 years ago, and we were stopped dead in our tracks. We had planned on developing our property to start and maintain our business, and we went into bankruptcy in 1976, and we were over $1 million in debt. And some people think, well, that's not very much money, but I think it's quite a bit. Under the terms of our bankruptcy, we were allowed to keep our property and pay our creditors back, and we refinanced. And to this day, I am still paying those debts that my parents incurred back then.
Mr. Kaiser, about 25 seconds.
Okay, thank you. I'd just like to say I'm, you know, one of our family is one of 7,000 claimants, which to me seems like a very low number. Most of the people that were harmed by Senate Bill 100 have either died or they have gone under. They couldn't afford to be righted in this situation. And so I oppose 505 because it changes Measure 37, which is what we need to be made whole again. Thank you.
Thank you. Hal?
My name is Hal Hermanson, and with respect to Representative Girard, I'm kind of new to this whole process, and some of my comments do refer to Measure 37, so I hope you'll just entertain me for the 120 seconds that I have. As I sat in Harris Hall last Tuesday listening to the Measure 37 claims zooming by in Lane County, I realized that this was probably happening in other counties around the state, namely that like Lane County, other counties are trying to process their Measure 37 claims within 180 days so that they do not have to pay compensation. Of the 21 Measure 37 claims reviewed last Tuesday in Harris Hall, I was only familiar with one. This was the Greif Measure 37 claim, where the market analysis concludes the reduction in fair market value due to land use regulations imposed since the subject property was acquired is at least $7,325,996. Now, I know for a fact that Lane County does not have this money for one claim, let alone the hundreds of other claims that are being processed right now. The applicants know this. Therefore, these Measure 37 claims are a method of bypassing the current zoning and proceeding full speed ahead with large-scale development. The Greif Measure 37 claim aims to develop the land, putting up an estimated 28 homes, 141.82 acres divided by 5-acre lots. This would mean that F2 forest land, the way it is currently zoned, which already allows for a special permit to build one house per parcel, would become a subdivision 5 miles outside of Eugene city limits. No one can tell me, honestly, that the intention of the voters was to allow F2 forest land to become a large-scale subdivision. Pretty soon, to my mind, there will be not much country left in the country. This type of Measure 37 claim must be stopped. I think that Senate Bill 505 begins to do this. First, it would place a hold on all large-scale Measure 37 claims. Second, it would also allow the claims that are in line with the original intent of voters to be addressed. Ultimately, I think Measure 37 needs to be referred to the voters in the next election. Prior to the next election, Measure 37 needs legislative review to try to enact something that does represent the will of the people, not the will of developers. Senate Bill 505 begins that process.
Thank you. Tim, is it Goffrier?
Goffrier.
Yeah.
I appreciate the time to...
And I'll tell you what I'm going to ask everyone to do to try to get everyone on board here. When you start your testimony, besides giving your name, let us know what your position is. Support or oppose Measure 505 so everyone knows where you're at, and then you can kind of supplement it, but realize we need you to stick as close as you can to the bill that's before us. Thank you.
Okay. My name's Tim Goffrier. I'm very much opposed to the 505 measure. After Measure 37 passed, we started the process of partitioning our 60-acre Christmas tree farm in South Salem into three parcels. We have farmed Christmas trees on this farm since 1988 when we purchased it. We have spent $22,000 going through this Measure 37 process. We have followed all the rules and laws we were told we needed to by the state and the county. And now we have our approval. Now the governor wants to change the rules in midstream. 505 is underhanded and deceitful, and it's a way to take back the will of the people. Self-employed people don't have the luxury of fancy retirement programs. We need to plan for our retirements, and that's what we thought we were doing when we purchased the property that could be divided at that time. But the government took away our property rights without having to pay for them. So the people rose up in Measure 37 and said this was wrong. Then it was upheld in the courts. Now look what the government's trying to do. This state that I was born and raised in have leaders that have gotten us into financial trouble by passing measures that for government workers that are fantastic retirement programs. You continue to honor their promise, your promises, and you should. Some of these same leaders don't have any problem dumping on the private property owners that have helped pay for this government to be operated. If you want Oregonians to be able to trust government, then government needs to be trustworthy. The governor is one of the few people that doesn't have to worry about being reelected. 505 is wrong. The governor is wrong. Most of the people that favor Measure 5 or this 505 are the same faces that were vocal against Measure 37 to start with. It's an insult to more than 60% of the people that voted for Measure 37 when you say that we didn't know what we were voting for. Mr. Johnson's numbers shouldn't be thought of as the gospel truth. He implied that these acres were all being taken out of farm use. Mine isn't being taken out of farm use, and I'm guessing that many Measure 37 claims aren't being taken out of farm use. Thank you.
Thank you. Gentlemen, thank you very much. The next three people are Neil Christman, and it's either Judd or Maria Parsons, and then Sue Johnston. Neil Christman.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express my opinion on Senate Bill 505, which I oppose, by the way. My testimony tonight is titled, Here We Go Again. In 1970, my wife and I purchased land west of Molalla. We purchased the property as an investment since it was close to town. It is in a side of town that will clearly experience the most growth and would be easy to develop. At the time, we put together a 20-year plan with this property as a key element in our retirement plan. In 1972, we applied and paid for a building permit to develop a portion of the property. But after spending thousands of dollars and expending hundreds of hours of work, Clackamas County zoned our property, then informed us that since our property is now zoned, we could not proceed with our project and must halt construction. I knew they were wrong, and my guess is even the officials talking to us knew it was wrong, but we were not in a position to wage a legal battle and gave up. Through the years, the state and county applied more and more restrictions on our property until it became impossible to do anything with it, and our retirement plans went down the drain. In 2004, Measure 37 was passed. We submitted the forms along with the application fee, hired traffic engineers as required by ODOT, and after giving the state and county approval of our Measure 37 claim, hired civil engineers. although we have spent several thousand dollars, played by the rules, and counted by the legal system to work. Now the state legislature is considering Senate Bill 505, which, as currently written, is nothing more than a backdoor assault on Measure 37. Since there is a logjam of new applications, if 505 did nothing more than extend the 180-day waiting period, I wouldn't object. But 505 stops all Measure 37 activity, even those projects that have been approved. There is no justification for halting approved Measure 37 claims. So here we go again. In 1972, we worked within the system, paid our dues, and were victimized. Now, 35 years later, we again worked within the system, again paid our dues, and again are about to be victimized. I urge you to examine carefully each provision in 505 and adopt only those provisions that have justification. Thank you for listening to my opinion.
Thank you very much. And let's see, Judd or Maria?
Maria. Mr. Chairman, I'm Mrs. Judson Parsons speaking for my husband and myself.
Okay.
And Maria is not a person I know.
Well, it's on the list. I'm just reading off the list. I apologize.
We are owners of farm and forest land in Marion and Jackson counties. We operate about 3,000 acres of timber and farmland in the two locations. We support Senate Bill 505 because we believe that Measure 37 is unfair, is extremely destructive to Oregon, and cannot work. It cannot work as it is written. We trust the legislature will deal with it, and we think 505 will give you that opportunity to make some positive improvements. Regarding specific conflict situations, groundwater resources, water law, and water law implementation in Oregon are completely inadequate to support hundreds or thousands of additional exempt withdrawals from the groundwater. We have found from personal experience that right to farm laws do not protect commercial farm activities near residential and transportation uses. We've withdrawn farmland from our orchard operations in Jackson County because of it. We also know that family ownership of commercial farms and the aging of farm owners predominate in Oregon, and we believe, we know, that young people will not follow their parents into farming. The generations will not carry forward their farm businesses if there's threatened conflict and loss of infrastructure, water, and land. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for your testimony. And our last speaker for this group is Sue Johnston.
Hello. Thank you for letting us have these additional time for talking. My name is Sue Johnston. I'm the executive director of Salem Audubon Society, and I represent over 1,400 members. I'm also a former city council member in Albany, and since people are kind of doing their mark on how many generations they've been here, I'm a fourth generation Oregonian.
Can you give us your position on the bill that's before us?
Yes, I support Senate Bill 505.
Thank you.
My reasons: Measure 37 was badly crafted, misrepresented to the voting public, tends to rape land use guidelines that have protected people's property rights and ensured livability. Plus, it could bankrupt city, county, and regional governments. Measure 37 takes precious dollars from other critical services. If Measure 37 can't be fixed immediately, then initiate emergency intervention with Senate Bill 505. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony. Our next panel includes Christine Christman, and I'm not even going to try to say this next one. It's Mike, and its last name is H-R-Y-E-K-E-W-I-C-Z. So whoever that would be so nice, Mona Lindstrom Berg. And I apologize, but I knew I would not do it any justice. Christine?
Yeah. co-chairs and members of the committee, my name is Christine Christman, and I would like it on the record that I am a constituent of Senator Byers, and I'm against Senate Bill number 505. My husband and I own 90 acres. We purchased it in 1970, and we farmed it for over 20 years with the plan to develop the land when we retired. Right now, we lease it out and make $6,600 a year on it. This is not a good retirement plan. The people passed Measure 37 overwhelmingly by 61%. This should convey to the Senate that this is a law that people want to be implemented. If the law cannot be fulfilled because of constraints, then extend the new application deadline if it is feasible. As for the people that have already had their applications approved and started the process of developing their property by spending several thousand dollars, let them continue since they were approved under the law as it is written and applies now. I fear there will be several lawsuits challenging Senate Bill 505 if it is enacted. The only entity who will profit from this will be the lawyers, and in the end, the people will rewrite Measure 37, and they will get what they wanted originally. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike?
Hello, Mike Rakowitz, Multnomah County. I support Senate Bill 505. Measure 37 was approved by 61% of the voters, and I believe it was approved for two reasons. First off is the land use planning that was set in motion back with Senate Bill 100 was never really finished. There was supposed to be some follow-up work there in terms of the people that were left out in the cold. And so there has been some lingering action there. The second is I think people were really voting with their hearts on the commercials they saw. They saw people that had owned land for a long time that couldn't develop on it. They wanted to build a house. They were told, no, they can't. Now, we've been inundated with initiatives in the last several elections. We had nine in the last one. I don't know anyone that reads the text of these things. There's just not enough time. People are voting by sound bites these days, just trying to get through the darn voters pamphlet. The fallout from Measure 37 has some significant claims out there. There's a 32,000-acre proposed claim out on the coast for subdivision. We've got gravel quarries. We've had three neighboring states look at the fallout of Measure 37 and vote down their own property rights initiatives based on what they saw here. Now, 61% of the voters approved Measure 37, but according to the latest poll I saw with more information, only 31% of Oregonians believe that we should keep our hands off of it and implement it as written. The rest feel we should revise it or repeal it altogether. Now, clearly there's a voice for change in our land use planning, and the problem is that we're doing it with grenades right now. Here comes Measure 7, oh, it's legal. Here comes Measure 37, here we are again. Okay? Now, the reason Senate Bill 100 was successful in the first place is because it was a collaborative effort among all Oregonians. We traveled around the state, we talked to people, we came up with a consensus on how we basically do this, and we never finished the job. Based on the testimony I'm hearing, I don't hear a lot of people saying that they want to develop subdivisions or gravel quarries. Basically, at the same time, they don't want to be stuck with, I can only develop one house on my land for all eternity. I think there's a lot of room to build there. Thank you. We can work out a solution. We can collaborate like we did under Senate Bill 100, but we need time to do it before we get inundated with development. And I think Senate Bill 505 is the only option I know of that buys us the time to do this. We have to remember that development on our rural land is a one-way process. We can't just try something for a while and then undo it. Once the subdivisions start springing up outside our UGBs, we have forever lost the scenic view or the agricultural resources it replaced. Let's make sure there's consensus that it was worth the trade. We need to approach our revisions to land use laws carefully and deliberately, and that's why I urge you to support Senate Bill 505. Give us the time to collaborate on a solution that we can all live with, which we can proudly hand over to our children. And together, let's write the next chapter of the Oregon story. Thank you.
Thank you, Mona. If you hold your comments, please. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Mona Linsenberg. I live in Lane County and have deep roots in Lincoln County. I support Senate Bill 505. I'm a fourth-generation Oregonian and own property that would qualify for development of a Measure 37 claim. Oregon is in a crisis. Senate Bill 505 is a start towards staunching the hemorrhaging, but has much more but much more needs doing. It must be passed and the real work begun. Many of the developers seeking to take advantage of this situation were complicit in convincing the public that this was about mom and pop. Many of these developers were making a business decision, and some business decisions are bad and doomed to failure. They gambled that the people of Oregon would let them get away with it. I hope to see the day when Oregon tells them they gambled and lost. That day must come soon before the damage is irreparable. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Our next group is Joan Mariner, I guess, Larry Hayes, and Dwayne Weeks. Joan?
My name is Joan Mariner. I'm from Vinita, and I support Senate Bill 505. I was born in Washington State in 1941, and I remember old-growth forests, large wooded areas, pristine beaches, and open spaces in that state. All are either gone or degraded because Washington did not institute Oregon's intelligent and foresight with land use laws. Urban sprawl, strangling traffic, acid rain on the western Cascade slopes, and a loss of open spaces are only a few of the impacts our neighbor to the north is experiencing. When I moved back to the Pacific Northwest in 1976, I settled in Eugene, Oregon, in large part because Oregon still had the beauty I remembered from my childhood. I knew that the goals of the land use laws were not shared by everyone, but I assumed that most Oregonians understood the benefit that everyone gained. That assumption was undermined by the deceptive campaign that allowed ballot measure 37 to pass. I very much support SB 505 that will modify the impact of ballot measure 37 until more extensive corrections can be brought to bear. There is a ballot measure 37 claim next to my property, and there's a part of this discussion I have not heard. We are considering a class action suit that addresses the loss of value of our property that could occur with this subdivision. As with many of these claims, there are no nearby sources of water or sewer lines. Water tables are falling, and with every well that is drilled, the amount of water available to nearby residents is reduced. Additionally, with each septic system installed, there's an increased risk of contaminated groundwater. If the ballot measure 37 claim near me does not address the potential for reduction of my property values if my well becomes inadequate or contaminated because of increased population density. Laws are negotiated settlements between public good versus private freedoms. In the case of ballot measure 37, the balance has been upset because only one set of rights has been addressed, that of a single property owner. 505 would allow us time to reconsider the restoration of that balance. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Larry Hayes.
My name is Larry Hayes, and I am against Senate Bill 505. I live in Dayton, Oregon. I've lived there for 31 years on 30 acres. I do have a claim. I voted on Measure 7 and Measure 37, and I certainly knew what I was voting for. The people of Oregon have voted for both measures, also having not one opportunity, but two opportunities to understand the issues. They understood and spoke even louder the second time. For those elected officials that say they didn't know is incongruent with the evidence. Remember, these are the same voters who voted for those elected officials. The people's vote was about justice and fairness. They understood that the Measure 37 claims would only have their rights restored, not given special rights. The majority of the citizens who voted knew this would not be about advantages to them personally, but restoring the claims, the claimant's rights, was the right thing to do. The people voted their conscience on principle of what was right, believing that this was settled by the people and tested by the Supreme Court. I now have thousands of dollars invested in moving forward on my claim. I strongly recommend you allow the people's vote to stand. That is what a vote is for, to determine the people's will. The people have spoken. I'm against Senate Bill 505. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Weeks.
Thank you, Chairman, and other senators and representatives. I come before you against Senate Bill 505.
You need to put your name on the record, please.
Dwayne Weeks, excuse me.
Thank you. You're
sorry. The U.S. Constitution gives us private property rights. The state constitution cannot supersede national ones. This is 2007, not the 1600s or 1700s in Germany, where the serfs lived on the land and worked at the pleasure of the feudal lord. There's too much similarity for my... give us back our full rights. I have a few points to make. One, I have not heard tonight any reference to transferability. That was a right that has been clouded over and is impeding any process. So the Senate Bill 505 should give us transferability. At the county level, I've been approved both from state and county, but at the county level, we are having trouble getting waivers that are in 37. The county is dancing to their own old ordinances that's cut us off. Say no to 505 because it is not fair, not a fair moratorium or suspension, particularly to those that have already been said they could do it, that it has been approved. Granted, if you need more time to do a good job on processing them, grant them a 180-day extension. Do transferability first. We want that first.
Mr. Weeks, we need you to summarize, please.
Okay, then I'm going to talk about your fast track for just a minute. If it goes fast track, there's a Dolan situation imminent on it, and fast track cost me about $330,000. And I'm an old man and want to get a house in town and get off this work pit that I've been on for 40 years. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weeks. Our next three individuals will be Jim Stutzman, Joe Robson, and Darlene Luckney. And whoever's Jim, would if you'd like to start off, please.
Honorable Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Jim Sitzman. My testimony is in support of Senate Bill 505 as the first step toward what, hopefully, will be legislation amending the excesses of ORS 197-352. I support Senate Bill 505 because it is a legitimate and needed exercise of your legislative oversight responsibilities. Oversight is needed because the 7,000 claims filed pursuant to ORS 197-352 constitutes a serious threat to the livelihood, economic well-being, and tranquility of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Oregonians. They threaten the long-term productivity of many thousands of acres of non-replaceable agricultural and forestry land. They threaten the long-term survival of rich flora and fauna in the mountain ranges, as in valleys and foothill habitats. They jeopardize long-standing public and private sector decisions involving infrastructure and production investments. Over more than 30 years, Oregon invested heavily in its land use planning system, making in the process countless trade-offs among competing interests and values to achieve a high degree of fairness. The 19 Oregon land use goals catalog the range and diversity of these interests and values. The result in fairness was not perfect, but it was substantial. These 7,000 claims threaten to unravel vast sections of this land use fairness system, not by primarily and responsibly adjudicating small-scale family claims of unfairness, but by creating a small subclass of property owners, corporate and family, who by random times of ownership are granted spot zoning permission to trump most all the other interests and values embedded in Oregon's system of land use fairness.
Gentlemen, I need you to respond.
This situation is unfair and needs to be halted, assessed, and corrected. Senate Bill 505 is designed to commence such a process. Please move Senate Bill 505 on the legislative agenda. Thank you.
Thank you. And Joe?
Good evening. My name is Joe Robison, and I'm here to oppose Senate Bill 505. And to please Representative Girard, that's what I'm going to talk about. It's good to see a familiar face on the committee and that Senator George went to school with our children. Thank God our daughter that went to school with him married someone else. He plays the accordion terribly.
That's what the police are for.
County sheriff. County sheriff.
Poor Larry. That will not count against your time.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
We can extend this one, I think.
Go ahead.
I'm here to talk about 505. And as you can see that most of the people who have major 37 claims are politely elderly. And frankly, Senate Bill 505 and this kind of conversation is scaring the hell out of them. You're talking about the choice between caring for a loved one, food, making a place in their life for their children so they can enjoy the same benefits that their parents did. 505 is what I would equate to someone hanging on a cliff and someone coming up and saying to you, I will rescue you if you will pay me all of your money. Well, if my wife was in a rest home and I thought that she was going to be kicked out because no one would let me sell my property because of it didn't comply with what the county had. In our particular property, we have 47 acres. The only way that we can sell it is to sell our lifelong home along with the property since it's zoned minimum 80 acres. I think this whole thing is a misunderstanding by do-gooders that feel that people did not understand Measure 37. I did email my feelings to all of the legislators in Oregon's legislature. I did hear back from several who stated that they felt that their constituents did not understand Measure 37 when they voted for it.
Mr. Robinson, I need you to summarize,
okay,
please.
Okay. I propose that Oregonians do know how to read. We've educated them well, and they didn't vote on anything that they didn't understand. Thank you.
Thank you. And Darlene?
Yes, I'm Darlene Lucchini from Sia, Oregon. And House Bill 505, I'm against it to begin with, but it will not be enacted by a vote of the people, but by a vote of a few. We object strongly to this bill, and it takes away our property rights, plus the rights of our heirs. We have lived on this farm for 51 years, and Grandpa Lucchini before us. During those years, our place was zoned into 5-acre parcels on 105 acres of our 130-acre farm. Had we known they were going to take away our property rights, we would have taken enough 5-acre parcels for our children then. This was to be their security, as they all had worked very hard on this farm and on our other property that we had rented. Many times in the summer, they would be up till midnight changing hand line irrigation and pole beans, corn, caneberries, strawberries, and cucumbers. The crops we grow on our farm were very spotty, with some places growing and some with empty areas. This same ground is full of clay and rocks. The part of the farm we took for our 5-acre lots on the southern end of the property has never been farmed. The cattle pasture there with the grass drying up in June. We have already built a 470-foot road, partitioned property into three parcels, received OKs and permit on septics with some barely passing because of the clay in the ground. One will be a sand filter system. You can see this is not good farm ground. We have spent $35,000 so far. We have invested our savings and have borrowed money to proceed with our Measure 37 claim, with no way to pay it back other than our Social Security. If you rescind Measure 37, who will reimburse us for our project? Will the counties pay us back for all our permits? We cannot believe you would let people like us get into the middle of our Measure 37 project and then say, sorry, we have changed our minds. Doesn't the vote of the people mean anything? The voters knew the majority of people doing the Measure 37 claims would use common sense with the ground they own. We have had a very limited lifestyle on this farm. We are not developers. We resent being called greedy and selfish by Governor Kulikowski and his followers. We have been a hard-working farm family and strongly object to SB 505. It is not right or fair. You need to be reasonable and responsible with these decisions. You are hurting many elderly people who were believing they were safe with Measure 37. And we're Democrats, both of us, so we're not too happy.
Thank you. Our next panel is Mary Well, I guess, Linda Mintel, and Kathy Day.
Anybody else can talk? Okay.
Mary?
I'm Mary Wheel of Dundee, Oregon, and I support Senate Bill 505. First, I really want to say that I appreciated Mr. Johnson's presentation, and I felt like it was not nearly enough time was allotted to it. And I hope that this committee and the rest of the decision makers have a lot more time to digest his information and ask him more questions in depth. I think what he had to share with us was extremely revealing and important. I'm going to just summarize because it's been a long day for everybody, and I've decided the only winner in this whole process, because I've been here six times, is my horses, because they get to get fed earlier in the afternoon so I can get down here. Okay. I do support 505. It is not perfect, but we've seen a lot of imperfection with Measure 37. We need the timeout. We need to look at all of this. We've all heard the individual stories. They're heart-wrenching. It's a very impactful situation, and there's no reason in the world why it isn't okay to take some time and look at this situation. I have real concerns about the transferability issue. I have real concerns about people who hold a Measure 37 waiver and might consider it possible to sell 50% or 75%. They still own the waiver, but they could sell shares in that property to a developer, and then we're back to real developers of property. There's just too many loopholes. Through those loopholes, can escape a lot of things of value in Oregon.
Mary, I need you to summarize, please.
Okay. I think through the loopholes, we're going to sacrifice our pristine woods, our river greenways, our fragile land, and it's just too important. We need to stop and take a look at it. And if you support Measure 505, that's a step in the right direction. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda?
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Linda Mennell. I live in East Linn County. I am against Senate Bill 505. It is a poor piece of legislation, not taking into account all the lives it will impact. Measure 37 was not about only one home, as the governor thinks. Claims already well into the process of development must be allowed to finish their projects. These are people's lives you're playing with. Who's going to reimburse these people for the thousands of dollars they have spent? They have been following the law put into effect by voters, have state approval, and permits issued by county agencies. It is a work in progress. From listening to previous testimony, I think people are running scared before they even know the regulations or understand the processes involved to get permits to build. Many properties will not even pass for septic systems. Therefore, they are not buildable. Neighboring property owners are notified if an easement for road access is applied for. This is their opportunity to voice concerns. Let the Environmental Health and Building and Planning Departments do their jobs and enforce laws on the books. This will eliminate or curtail many projects. Counties are having their timber funds cut. These Measure 37 claims will benefit counties with more permit fees and property taxes to help with schools, roads, law enforcement, fire departments, and others. My in-laws have a Measure 37 claim to provide home sites for their children. This property was in the family before there were any zoning laws at all. Part of the property is of no value other than a rural home site. The acreage that is able to produce a crop, and this is still marginal ground at best, has been in production since the family acquired the property and continues to be so. This property already has numerous small acreage residences within a mile radius. This is certainly not going to change the neighborhood. Developing some of these marginal and poor lands would be an economic win-win situation for the landowners and the counties, not to mention all the other businesses that would benefit from the supplies and services required to develop these sites.
Ms. Mentor, I need you to summarize, please.
SB 505 is not good legislation. We need to give Measure 37 a chance. Let the county agencies do their jobs. There will be a future election that can make corrections if needed. Thank you.
Thank you. And Kathy Day.
My name is Kathy Day, and I am in support of Senate Bill 505. One of the things I want to say is I've heard a lot of stories of the bad situations for the farmers. I grew up on a farm myself, and you hear stories of how they wanted to build the houses for their children. My parents sold their farm, not to any children, and they did well. And so now I'm going to read what my experience has been with the measure. I voted for Measure 37, and one of the reasons I voted for Measure 37 was I was approached by a neighbor who was a farmer and who told me that he was a victim, which I myself am, of strict property regulations. With the passage of Measure 37, he stated that he would be able to build the dream home his wife always wanted, only to discover after the fact that their intent was to put 173 acres in approximately 112-house subdivision all along. Senate Bill would allow him to build that dream home for his wife and sell his other three houses that he owns for a wealthy retirement. Senate Bill 505 would put a stop to the deception and the greed that has occurred with this Measure 37. Some of the Measure 37 claims, such as my neighbor who has already been modified, have been reapplying for the claim. Senate Bill would allow time needed to review these claims and not slide through the cracks due to the lack of time needed to adequately review the claim. Measure 37 was intended to help with the strict land use regulations. I have been a victim of strict land use regulations on my property, but I would not vote for Measure 37 again. To those of you who filed for these subdivisions, you have only reinforced harsh land use restrictions for future generations. With the greed and the deception displayed by Measure 37, Senate Bill 505 would allow time for fair land use regulations, which is intended by Measure 37. There are polls which show Measure 37 would fail by a wide margin if voted today. These polls should be considered, and as a result of what happened in Oregon, other states who have copycat measures have failed. Senate Bill 505 would allow time to take these polls into consideration. Most importantly, Measure 37 is not a constitutional amendment. It is a statute. We have the right to have the legislature to fix it, amend it, or resubmit it to the voters, and I urge you to do so with Senate Bill 505 before it's too late. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next panel is Laura Hines, Kay Guess, and Jake Van Pelt. Laura? Ms. Hines, you can go ahead and get started.
Oh, okay. My name is Laurel Hines, and I support Senate Bill 505. And I believe that we've heard a lot of testimony in the last several hearings and today from people who support 505 that are eligible for Measure 37, yet are still in favor of the hold and fast-tracking the single houses. I believe that there are very few people, if any, here against 505 who don't have a claim, who don't stand to benefit from Measure 37. I have talked to many people over the past few months who, and when I ask them about Measure 37, they have no idea what I'm talking about. And they say they don't read the paper and they didn't really pay attention. And I said, did you vote? And they said yes. And most of them I talked to said they voted for Measure 37. But when I told them about how it will create sprawl and subdivisions on farmland and that sort of thing, they're appalled, and they just can't believe that they voted for Measure 37, and they just thought it was a little old lady who wanted one house on her property for her children. So I believe that a hold is needed to stop this process, and then re-giving this to the voters in the fall and finding out what people really want now that the effects of Measure 37 are becoming clear to all Oregonians. And I also want to state that the claimants aren't the only ones who may have invested money, lots of money already, in Measure 37. As I mentioned when I was here before talking about the other issue, I represent a group that has already spent thousands of dollars, over $10,000, fighting a Measure 37 claim already, hiring a hydrogeologist and an attorney, trying to protect our groundwater and our creek and a reservoir in our area.
Ms. Hines, I need you to summarize, please.
Okay. So I believe that we need a hold to stop this process, and that some sort of tax benefit or something could be given to the people who have put money into their Measure 37 claims. But we need to have time to stop this and refer it back to the voters. Thank you for a chance to talk.
Thank you. Kay?
Yes. My name is Kay Guess. My husband Al and I live in Portland. We are opposed to SB 505. We have attended all of these hearings hoping the legislature would address the issue of transferability. Instead, the governor has introduced a new bill to stall Measure 37 claimants. Many of the claimants are age 70 and older and purchased their land years ago as a means to provide for their retirement years. A moratorium on Measure 37 would cause further hardship to people who have already been devastated by land use laws. At this time in our lives, we shouldn't have to keep fighting to regain property rights that should never have been taken from us. We have been called greedy and privileged for just wanting what we planned 30 years ago, for owning property we struggled to pay for, paying taxes and insurance all these years just to find we're unable to use that property as we intended. We've been called self-centered for wanting to provide for ourselves and not depend on government agencies to care for us. Our own governor has said that 61% of Oregonians didn't know what they were voting for. Voters knew exactly what they were voting for when they voted for Measure 7 and again for Measure 37, and it wasn't just for one house on a piece of rural property. It was to regain all of the property rights and be able to use the property for a use permitted at the time they acquired it. Everyone has a reason for purchasing property. It could be for a home, an investment, farming, ranching, or for other reasons. Maybe if the opponents to Measure 37 were told they couldn't use or sell their property after they had owned it for many years, they would change their minds. My husband and I purchased our property in Portland 30 years ago for an investment. We only want the rights that came with the property at the time, including transferability. That's an important right of every property owner. A recent poll by 1,000 Friends of Oregon concluded that many voters would now vote against Measure 37. Polls are decided by where you conduct that poll and whom you ask. If I conduct a poll at the Oregonians in Action Forum next month, I'm sure it would show that 100% of the voters would still vote for it. We voted for Measure 37 as written, which did not exclude the right of transferability. Nowhere in the measure does it state that restored rights are personal to the owner and therefore not transferable. The legislature should work on ensuring that all of our rights are restored and not try to find ways to stall or do away with Measure 37. Fairness is Measure 37, not SB 505. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And Jake?
Thank you, panel, for allowing me to share my testimony. I know the governor asked you to hear what the public has to say. I also know your task is about fairness. And please, don't make your job harder than it should be. I am only one of many statewide who have had and used the use of property diminish incrementally over the last 35 years by the state-mandated regulations. I do not support Senate Bill 505, and here is why. It is a poorly written bill with no positive aspects for the voters of Measure 37. It is an attempt to go around what 61% of the informed voters of Oregon passed in Measure 37 and also 7. Let me tell you my story of mistrust of Oregon state government. My wife and I were young, eager Oregon residents, and we bought a 23-acre tract of land from a family relative in 1970. We bought it because we wanted to live close to family, church, good schools, and friends. I was a young builder when we bought the property because it had 3/4-mile road frontage, and we planned to build homes there in the future. I built one home to live in and sent all our kids through first grade and college. We made several attempts to build another home on the property, believing we owned all the rights we purchased in 1970, but we were shut down by the county because of state mandates. Other people in the state were also having their properties taken away from them without compensation, as was promised in Senate Bill 100. I know what I voted for. My wife and I, in good faith, have invested over $50,000 following all the laws, yes, and the regulations of Measure 37 to create a fully complying subdivision on the 23 acres.
I need you to summarize, please.
Now is the time for the state must honor the contract of laws and do the right thing. I ask you, the legislators, to kill Senate Bill 505 and grandfather all the rights to the private citizens who have filed Measure 37 claims and restore only the rights that were stolen from them, which includes transferability. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next panel is Richard Schumacher, I believe, and Ivy Stanton, and Ed Stanton.
Two more panels.
All right. Richard?
Okay. I was born and raised on a farm in the edge of sublimity. I was in the city limits.
I need you to first give us your name, if you'd be so kind, and then also your position on the bill that's before us, and then your testimony.
Oh, on Measure 505, I'm absolutely against it.
Okay.
I don't know how a governor could come up with that.
And need your name as well, please.
Richard Schumacher.
Thank you.
And anyway, it's been just about, if you add 2 days to it, 80 years ago that I was born on that farm. And anyway, wife and I when we got married, we lived on the part that my dad had. He bought some more on it. And that's the piece of property that I own now. And that happens to be 80 acres. And I bought it with no restrictions. Now look where I'm at. And when we had 8 children, and we'd like to have a place where they could take a piece of land, and there's no way in the world they can do it the way this thing is shaping up. In fact, I think 505 is absolutely illegal. I don't think it'll hold up in court no matter what. And I'm afraid you're going to have a bunch of lawsuits. It ought to be thought about before they get any farther. Anyway, I feel that after owning the land for 56 years now, I ought to have a little right to what I'm going to do with it. At least be able to chop off a chunk for each one of the kids if I want to. And I haven't been able to, although I went out for Measure 37, and it's passed. It went through, and I live, my property is within between 800 and 900 feet of the city limits of sublimity, and there's houses there between 250,000 and 400,000. I'm looking at all the time, that close to my property. So, kind of put you where I'm at. That, well, I got used up most of my time.
You're close.
Okay, to finish up, after I bought this property, they added this RA40 deal on, and I didn't know they added that. And then later, EFU-80. So you kind of put us in a position of one chunk of land, one house, and that's it. And I might as well admit that I have a TV sales and service and appliance on that place, and I've been 56 years doing that. But I did also farm the thing, and my boy's farming it now, and I don't plan on breaking that farm up, but I did want to get rid of the restrictions.
Right, thank you. Let's see, I have Ivy Stanton and also Ed, so whoever wants to go first.
My name is Ivy Stanton, and thank you for your perseverance. Thank you for listening so carefully to us. I strongly oppose Senate Bill 505. I am a 30-year resident of Oregon. The property that we filed our claim for has been in our family for 47 years. We are asking that property that we spent $17,000 on for a Measure 37 claim, working through all the complex regulations and requirements of appraisals and land use assessments and the measure itself, we are asking that that would be honored. We have industrial property right outside the Eugene Airport that is completely surrounded by other industrial property. I agree that I believe it's the height of arrogance to say that we interpret someone else's vote as having been made in ignorance. That concerns me as much as anything else that's been discussed here. A vote is a vote, and that should stand in our nation. I strongly urge you, please oppose Senate Bill 505. Thank you.
Thank you. Ed?
To this distinguished members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Ed Stanton. I live in Newburgh. I come today as one who is alarmed at Senate Bill 505. I ask you to reject it. Last week, I was here and listened to many proponents of this bill. I was stunned when they suggested that as a voter, I was duped by developers and conned by timber barons who plan to turn every one of our counties into an Orange County, California. I felt insulted. When I voted for Measure 37, it was not because of the plight of one elderly woman in Multnomah County who could not develop her land. I joined the ranks of other citizens of the United States when we discovered that the Supreme Court of the United States rejected the land rights of a couple in Connecticut, condemned their land, and turned it over to a developer. After all, it was the first Supreme Court Justice, John Marshall, who wrote that the moment we forfeit our rights as landowners, we are no longer citizens of the Republic, but we become enslaved by the very servants of government whom we elected to protect us and our rights. There is a difference between Connecticut and Oregon, but the fundamental issue is still the same, property rights. Only here, instead of local government condemning property, we have state government condemning our property. Should Senate Bill 505 pass and Measure 37 be rescinded, special interests should not take precedence over private land rights. I urge you today to reject Senate Bill 505. After all, justice delayed is justice denied.
Thank you. We have another panel. The last panel we have currently scheduled right now is Mike Zillis, Marion Reeves, and I believe it's Jan Paquette. And I'm going to ask as they're coming up if there's anyone else that's here that actually thinks they're signed up from last week that didn't get called. What we're going to do is ask you to come over here and we'll check the names off the list.
Good evening. My name is Mike Zillis. I'm here to support Senate Bill 505, and I appreciate the long evening you've sustained this evening, so I will make my testimony short. I believe the bill is important because it focuses on a timeout that's needed for Measure 37 so that the legislature can assess the impacts and arrive at solutions to what I consider a very dramatic attack on our land use system. It's clear by testimony tonight and in previous hearings that I've sat through that the Measure 37 came out of frustration. And I believe that all citizens of Oregon, as well as the legislature, can share in how that frustration came about. I think this is a land use issue, not a personal rights issue. And I believe that our land use system does need modification, but in a fair, even-handed way. Measure 37 has established a new class of citizens in Oregon. It's now a class of those, because of the purchase date of the property, can ignore a land use system that the rest of us must live by, and I don't believe that's fair. I came to Oregon 30 years ago because I believed in the land use system. I saw my home state of Illinois being destroyed by exactly the same thing that's happened in Measure 37. The reason I'm here is because I believe that this state supported agriculture, timber, and livable communities. Measure 37 does none of those things. It simply says the separate class of citizens now has a right to do whatever they want to do, irregardless of what it means to our state. We need to reinvigorate our support for agriculture, for sustainable timber harvesting, and importantly, support our state's livability. We need your leadership.
This is all I need you to summarize.
Very good. Please support Senate Bill 505, then work with your colleagues and the citizens of Oregon to reinvigorate our land use system to be fair, equitable, and provide for the future of Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. And I don't have my list in front of me, so whoever's next, if you'll go ahead.
My name is Marilyn Reeves. I represent Friends of Yamhill County. Our organization has about 140 members. I've been astounded in the last 3 or 4 months as we are now sending out newsletters to more than 250 members. I believe that what we are seeing and the support that our organization shares for Senate Bill 505 is basically going to be a burden on you in this legislature. It's a 180-day suspension. It says you're going to have to do something by June. It isn't taking away everybody's rights. And many of the things that I've been listening to, I've been rather surprised. If a claimant has a waiver and a building permit, Senate Bill 505 does not in any way impede that. Mm-hmm. I believe that it creates an express lines, which probably is needed. But more importantly, it puts on hold so that you, the legislature, who were elected many new in 1960, you have a chance to really grapple with this, and it needs to be grappled with. I would like to point out you've had six hearings. You've probably heard from over 250. I can't imagine the amount of paper that you have before you. But I do think that it's time to have some good, solid briefings like that that Jim Johnson brought you. And I do think it's time for you to begin to grapple with what you're going to do with Senate Bill 505. And I urge that you approve it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And let's see. Jan?
Yeah. Hi. I'm Jan Paquette. I rise in support of Senate Bill 505, and I represent myself, my husband John, and many of our neighbors who my husband has been canvassing over the last few weeks. 2 minutes is not enough time to really address all this, and you've heard most of what there is to say. I wanted to add a few things. Now, I'm not a native Oregonian. I wish I was. I'm proud to live here. I've been here 25 years, but I am the mother and grandmother of native Oregonians. So hopefully that gives me something to say. I could benefit from Measure 37. Our property would be worth well over $1 million more than it's currently worth if I were to put in a claim. And yet my husband and I have not done that, nor would we. I think Measure 37 was advertised as something that it is not, and that the average intelligent and even above average intelligent voters of Oregon may not have understood the full extent of the measure when they voted it in. I think it was in part duplicitous, and unfortunately it's that part that is causing all the stress that we're now under today. In addition, I think that our democracy is a wonderful thing, and that we've all talked about how much our vote means, but part of our democracy is the legislative body that I sit in front of now, and you and your job is extremely important and extremely difficult, and we need you to look at measures that the population vote in and say, how can we make this work for the good of everyone? How can we make it work into the future? I was born in the Pacific Northwest. Most of the people in this room are at least middle-aged or older, as is most of our population. We are one of the last of the fortunate group of human beings who will ever be born into a land of plenty. Our children were not. My grandchildren certainly were not. And if we aren't careful, we are not going to have the world that we all think that we're supporting for our kids. We can't divide up Oregon into little parcels so each of our children and our grandchildren have their own little piece.
Let me just summarize.
There's not enough of Oregon to go. I guess in summary, I would say that the driving force underlying Measure 37 in some part is shameful and is in large part short-sighted, and it should not be allowed to be the broad influence on the land use policy of Oregon, and I do not want to see the Californication of Oregon.
Thank you. The last panel that we have are people that are here that were on the list: Peter Bray, Rob Bray, and Liz Ann Pearson. And identify yourself.
Yes, my name is Peter Bray, and I support Senate Bill 505, but I do so reluctantly. And it seems that a lot of people here are discussing Measure 37 and not Senate Bill 505. And it's a little confusing to me, because when I read Senate Bill 505 for the first time, I thought, ah, geez, Oregonians in Action have done it again. Because in this bill, in fact, there seem to be more rights for claimants than there actually were granted under Measure 37. Senate Bill 505, in fact, grants waiver transferability to many of the claimants. It grants fast tracking of single house development. These things weren't in Measure 37. So it's really, when I, as an opponent of Measure 37, I see the Senate bill coming forward where it's giving more rights to claimants, and yet in exchange it just gives a couple months suspension. It's really confusing to me. It seems a little bit like Briar Patch talk, where these folks who are getting more rights under this bill are somehow against it. It's confusing. So In terms of transferability, we've heard a lot of very sympathetic cases today, but I really think that waiver transferability needs to be looked at very carefully when considering this. Even transferring one claim down the line needs to be thought through. Already, House Bill 3661, 3661 granted a lot of this so-called development rights and gave some waivers. And so now when we're faced with these other folks coming in and Senate Bill 505 giving even more transfer rights, it's kind of upsetting.
You can summarize.
I support 505, but please, when you're looking at it, you need to bring it back a little bit. Let's put all holds on claim, not give even more rights to Measure 37 claimants. Thank you.
Rob?
Okay, hi. For the record, my name is Robert Bray, and I too support Senate Bill 505. How I see it, the implications of Measure 37 are going to be felt by Oregonians for hundreds of years. And I believe that patience really is the mark of good governance. Like, if we're going to be feeling these effects, or this is monumental legislative, if we're going to feel this for so long, let's pause, think about it, and say, is this what the people of Oregon really want? As we all know, the law of unexpected consequences marks all legislature. So there are things that we're not even going to, even as we're all discussing right now, there's things that we haven't even thought of. So I believe that just a little time, delay the big projects is a good thing. That's all. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And Lizanne Pearson?
Yes, my name's Lizanne Piercy.
Lizanne.
This is my first time testifying, so thank you all for being here and for your patience and attention. I support Measure Bill or Senate Bill 505. I was raised here in the Willamette Valley. Growing up in the 60s, my father told me the entire Willamette Valley from Eugene to Portland would eventually be one continuous suburb. Thankfully, in the 1970s, Oregon became a leader in land use planning, and we still see farms and forests along I-5. In 2007, we find ourselves at another crossroads for Oregon's future. Senate Bill 505 is a critical first step in addressing the unintended consequences of Measure 37. The timeout period for larger Measure 37 developments will allow for solutions to be based on sound planning and science and to protect the majority of Oregonians, not just the interests of those few who have suddenly found they have now the ability to make their fortunes by developing and subdividing their land. More than 150 new homes are planned about a mile and a half from our Polk County farm as a result of Measure 37, and our farm is prime value farmland. This development would more than double the commute traffic that goes by our farm every day. It would strain local schools, fire protection, law enforcement. Those homes will need wells since they will not be connected to any city water system. Our farm, as many in Oregon, has in-ground rights for water, for irrigation. We don't belong to a water irrigation district. We get our irrigation from our well. We paid for these rights when we bought our farm. From my background with a PhD in geology, I expect that our well will experience reduced water pressure or go dry as a result of the Measure 37 development that's proposed. Our water rights will be unfairly taken from us, and our property value will decline significantly. Furthermore, I understand that excessive drawdown of an aquifer, which is likely from the new wells in our area, causes irreparable compaction and loss of porosity in the water-bearing zone, thus permanently reducing the amount of water the aquifer is capable of supplying. And this is a really important point that I think you need to understand. This would occur not only in Polk County, but all across Oregon, as large Measure 37 claims are built out and ultimately double the current demand for clean groundwater.
I need you to summarize, please.
Based on my background as a resource planner in water quality as well, I'm also concerned that the quality of our well water at our farm could be threatened. It's also a domestic well for us, could be threatened by the many new septic systems for these developments. Senate Bill 505 is our only hope to allow all the impacts of large Measure 37 developments to be considered and dealt with fairly and with foresight before it is too late. Thank you.
Thank you. Colleagues, that takes care of the public testimony that we have signed up. So at this time, we will adjourn.